Hi friends, welcome back to season 2 of the Living Love podcast, where we explore what it means to live deeply rooted in God's love, grow in biblical understanding, and reflect Christ in everyday life. I'm Samantha Shambo, and I'm so glad that you are here. If you are new to the Living Love family, I want to welcome you and invite you to stick around by hitting that subscribe button. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram at the Living Love pages. You can also download the work pages for all our episodes on my website at SamanthaShambo.com. You can use them to go deeper in your personal Bible studies or for your small group Bible studies. I'm so excited today because we are starting a brand new season here at the Living Love podcast. For the next 12 weeks, we get to dive deeply into 1st and 2nd Corinthians to learn about everyday love. It makes me happy to talk about the letters to the Corinthians because it was the subject of my PhD thesis. I love the letters of Corinthians because it's so real. In it, we see the raw nature of human beings who are just trying to be followers of Jesus. And you also see the pain and the passion of the Apostle Paul as he tried to guide them in their journey. These letters are filled with real-life situations, and it's rich in wisdom for holy living in our everyday lives. And what's most surprising to me is Paul's focus on love. He had to deal with so many difficult questions, but he always comes back to the same answer, the love of the Father in Jesus Christ. Did you know that Paul made reference to love 24 times in these two letters? And he makes over 40 allusions to love. Love is the underlying theme of 1st and 2nd Corinthians. And it's not about nice feelings, but it's practical, rubber-hit-the-road love that always demands action. So the theme for our next season is everyday love from 1st and 2nd Corinthians. Throughout the next 12 weeks, we will explore how Paul addresses practical issues such as relationships, worship, family dynamics, sexual purity, and stewardship of resources in the light of our identity as God's beloved children. My prayer is for our transformation, that we will be changed to become who we really are created to be, God's holy and beloved children. So today's topic is, you are loved just as you are, right here in this moment in time. You are dearly loved by your Father in heaven. So let's read 1 Corinthians 1, verse 1 to 9. Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God and our brother Sosthenes, to the church of God in Corinth, those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, together with all those in every place call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, both their Lord and ours. Grace you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I give thanks to my God always for you because of the grace God has been given to you in Jesus Christ. When everywhere you have been enriched in him, in speech and knowledge of every kind, just as the testimony of Christ has been strengthened amongst you, so that you are not lacking in any gift as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ. He will also strengthen you to the end, so that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called into partnership of his Son Jesus Christ, our Lord. Do you really believe that God loves you, just as you are, right now, in this place and time? Or do you feel unworthy, that you don't deserve the love just yet, and that God will be able to love you after you get your act together? If you do, you're not alone. So many people feel that they have to earn God's love, or that they don't even deserve it. You know, this is not surprising, considering the reward and punishment gospel that so many of us learned when we first believed. But today's lesson is simple. God loves you, just as you are right now in this place and time. Now, after reading today's scripture, you might be thinking, where does she get love from in these verses? the word love is not even mentioned. So let me answer this question by telling you a story of a couple I know. The husband is a very attentive man. He makes coffee for his wife when they wake up. He fixes broken things around the house when she asks him, and he works to provide for his family. When his wife gets sick, he goes to the doctor with her and he makes sure that she follows the doctor's instructions. And on her birthdays, he always gets her a little gift and he tries to make her feel special. And when he talks to other people about his wife, he brags about how wonderful she is. How do you think this man feels about his wife? I think you will agree that he loves her because his action speaks louder than words. When we look at this first few introductory verses of the letter of 1 Corinthians, it just overflows with love. So let's look for evidence of God's love in these verses. I found the greeting in 1 Corinthians very interesting. Paul was going to address many difficult problems with the Corinthians, and the believers were acting really sinfully. Yet Paul starts this letter off by addressing them as God's beloved children, holy ones, who have been enriched in Jesus Christ, so that they won't lack any good thing. Even though Paul will have to apply tough love later in these letters, here he started by affirming their identity in Jesus. He knew that if they could just believe who they truly were, their actions would follow. So what is the evidence of God's love in these verses? Number one, we know God loves us because he gives us grace in generous measures. Paul says in chapter 1 verse 3, grace from the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. This term grace is a very well-known word amongst believers. If I ask you what grace means, you would probably answer unmerited favor, and you would be right. But God's grace is so much more than this. I love John Barclay's book, Paul and the Gift, because it really unpacks the meaning of grace and it gives me a much better appreciation for the grace that I receive from God. I would encourage you to read this book if you are able. For Barclay, God's grace is incongruous, and it means that God gives love, grace, and favor to people who don't qualify for it. It's the opposite of a gift given because someone deserved it. So incongruent grace is grace that doesn't match the worth of the recipient. So Barclay's point is this. In the ancient world, gifts were usually given to people who were honorable, loyal, and worthy. And people gave gifts upwards or to equals. But Paul turns the cultural practice upside down. God's grace does not match the recipient. It's not about their performance, status, morality, or background. This grace flows from God's loving nature. Let's look at Deuteronomy 7 verse 7 to 8 where it says, it's not because you were more numerous than other people that the Lord set his heart on you and chose you, for you were the fewest of all the peoples. It was because the Lord loved you and kept the oath that he swore to your ancestors, that the Lord has brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of slavery, from the hand of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. Here we see that God chose the Israelites because of his great love, and not because they had anything special about them. And this is the same for the Corinthians. In 1 Corinthians 1 verse 2, Paul says that the Corinthians were sanctified in Jesus, called to be saints, even though they were divided and immature. Their identity as God's holy children was given when they were born into Jesus. Like when a child receives a family name and identity the minute that she's born, before she can do anything good or bad. My daughter was a shambo while she was still in my womb, just because she was our child. This is the same for you. The minute you choose to believe in Jesus, you are born again and you join the family of God. You are God's beloved child, an heir of the Father and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. I love the way John describes it in 1 John 3 verse 1. See what love the Father has given us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. Beloved, you are God's child right now, and He loves you. God's grace comes first, even before we know that we even need Him. In this section, Paul mentions God the Father and Jesus Christ so many times that we can understand who is the active party in this story. God calls Paul to be an apostle, to invite the Gentiles. God called the Corinthians to be saints, and God called us into fellowship. That's in verse 9. So the Corinthians didn't reach out to God. He reached out to them. He did this by sending His beloved Son, so that in Him we who were far from the loving Father could come close. And this is still true for us today. Our Heavenly Father is always reaching out to us, inviting us to live in the safety of His love. This grace is not a status or assets, but it's a person. In Jesus Christ, God gave Himself to us. Paul doesn't present grace as a thing God hands out. Grace is a person, Jesus Christ. God loves us so much that He gave us His only Son to die on the cross, to save us from our sins, and to include us into God's family. But how do we receive a person? It happens when we respond to His knock on the door of our hearts. We choose to put our trust in Jesus, and we are filled with His Holy Spirit and have eternal life. So we can say with the Apostle Paul, thanks be to God for His indescribable gift. That's in 2 Corinthians 9 verse 15. Paul describes our salvation as entering into Christ. He says believers are sanctified in Jesus. Grace is given in Jesus, and we have been enriched in Him, and we are called into fellowship with Jesus. What does this mean? These words, in Christ, is Paul's favorite way of referring to salvation. It means being united with Christ and entering into the story of Christ. When we believe in Jesus, we die with Him to our sinful nature, and we rise with Him as holy children of God. Being in Christ means participation in Him, sharing in all that Christ is, all that He has, sharing in His mission. So when you think of grace, don't picture a cold legal pardon or distant approval from heaven. See a Father running towards you with open arms, a Father who delights in you. God's grace is not given because you finally measured up. It's given because He decided to love you before you even knew who He was. You didn't chase Him down. He reached for you first. In Christ, you've been named, claimed, and welcomed into love. And this transforms you, redefines you, it secures you. You are not trying to earn your place in God's family. You are already home. Number two, we know God loves us because He provides all we need for life. God's love is proven by His generosity. He withholds nothing good from us. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 4 to 7, in Christ, God gives us everything that we need to love, to grow, to serve, and to endure. This has always been true about God. We see it in the Old Testament where God provides generously for His people. From the beginning, God's love has been shown through His provision and His empowerment. He delivered His people from Egypt, sustained them in the wilderness with manna, quail, and water from the rock. God traveled with them in the cloud and in the fire. He never left them alone. Deuteronomy 2 verse 7 says it like this, surely the Lord your God has blessed you in all your undertakings. He knows you're going through this great wilderness. These 40 years, the Lord your God has been with you. You have lacked nothing. Even in dry places, God's love sustains His people. We also see this in the New Testament as we read in Romans 8 verse 32. He who did not withhold His own Son, but He gave Him up for us, will He not also give us everything else? And then in 2 Peter 1 verse 3, His divine power has given us everything needed for life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. I know there are some of us listening today who wonder if God loves you because of your current situation. You might be going through a valley right now, and the enemy is trying to convince you that your father has abandoned you. But I'm here to tell you it's a lie. You might find yourself stuck in a repeated cycle of misfortune, and it feels like you are being signaled out by God. Why is God doing this to me if he loves me? Or you have a burden of caring for your family while you feel like you can't even take care of yourself, and it feels like you can't carry the load anymore. Or maybe you have health problems and the Lord is delaying to heal you. Or you have a pressing financial need and you don't know where to turn. If these things are not evidence that God does not love you or that God has deserted you. It is just the result of being human in a fallen world. However, there are an opportunity to lean into and receive God's love. We know that our circumstances do not separate us from God's love. From Romans 8, verse 35 to 39, who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will hardship or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I'm convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor the things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. I cannot tell you why you are suffering right now or when it will end, but I can tell you this: God loves you. He is with you. He is for you. Even if you have to go through the valley of the shadow of death, he is present and will provide all you need to sustain you and to bring you out. So when your circumstances try to shout louder than your faith, remember this. Your lack is not proof of God's absence. It is the very place where his provision is about to show up. He has never failed his people, and he will not start with you. Whether you are in abundance or in the wilderness, his love is already gone ahead of you, making a way, supplying strength, sending help, and surrounding you with grace. You may not see the answer yet, but you are not empty. You are equipped. You are not abandoned. You are accompanied. You are not forgotten. You are fiercely loved. Trust this. The God who gave you Jesus Christ will not withhold anything else that you truly need. Hold on. Help is on the way. Number 3, we know God loves us because he committed himself to us. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 8 to 9 says, he will also strengthen you to the end so that you may be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Friends, we not only see God's love in how he gives himself to us in Jesus Christ, or how he gives us everything we need for life and for holiness, but also in his promise to stay. Jesus promises to be with and to strengthen you till the end. Have you ever been in a situation where you've been disappointed over and over again? You get into a relationship and with so much hope, then that person you trust betrays you or abandons you. So this makes you cautious about trusting the next person. But when they come, they promise to be different. They show deep sympathy with your pain and they treat you well, only to reject you when you start to lean on them the most. I know the pain of being rejected and abandoned, and it's hard because I always wonder if I am the cause of other people's behavior. Why are people treating me like this? Is there something wrong with me? Maybe this is all I deserve? If you have ever asked yourself these questions, let me answer you. It's not about you, it's about them. You are precious, dearly loved by your Father, worth so much that he was willing to send his Son to die on the cross on your behalf. So stop comparing God to human beings, because he can be trusted to stay. Love and faithfulness are inseparable from God's nature. Deuteronomy 7 verse 9 says, know therefore that the Lord your God is God, The faithful God who maintains covenant loyalty with those who love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. And then Lamentations 3 verse 22 to 23, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercy never comes to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. You can trust our Lord to be in you and to be with you to the end. He won't give up on you because you make mistakes or because you disappoint him. Instead, he will work with you so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, if we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. That's 2 Timothy 2 verse 13. God's love is proven by his follow-through. As Paul says in Philippians 1 verse 6, I am confident of this, that the one who began the good work among you will bring it to completion by the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. You can be assured that the one who called you won't walk away from you. Because he is faithful, he will do it. And you will be able to endure because he will do it through you. God loves you. He's providing for you. He will stay by your side, even as you walk into places where you still need to grow. Our Lord's love does not depend on our performance, our spiritual strength, or even our consistency. It is steadfast because love is who he is. He's promised to sustain you, forgive you, and to finish what he has started to you in you is real. The congregation in Corinth had many problems, and Paul was going to address them all. He wants to say this. First things first, you are God's beloved children. Start acting like it. I asked a few friends if they think their lives would be better if they truly believe that God loved them. The answer I got was yes, because they would not feel that they had to try so hard to earn God's love. If you truly lived every day believing, not just intellectually knowing, but deeply embracing that you are God's beloved child, your life would change in powerful ways. You could walk in confidence instead of insecurity. You don't have to love to prove yourself. You're already approved. No more constant comparison, striving, or fear of rejection. You belong. Your failures don't define you. You can stop seeing mistakes as proof of worthlessness. Instead of shame spirals, you can say, I failed, but I'm still loved, I'm still called, I'm still his. You can carry peace instead of anxiety. If you know your father is watching over you, you can stop living like everything depends on you. You would rest in his care instead of overthinking everything and trying to overcome. You can love others more freely. When you loved love, you don't drain others by trying to get love. You overflow with love. You can forgive faster, serve without resentment, and celebrate others without envy. You can stop settling for lesser loves. No more idols, addiction, unhealthy relationships, or human opinions to take God's place. You may stop chasing validation from people or things that only leave you empty. You can embrace purpose instead of wandering aimlessly. Your father isn't just saving you, he's sending you. So live with clarity, calling, and courage. This means you can enjoy God, not just obey him. Instead of following him out of duty or fear, you can respond like a child that's loved by the father with joy, with trust and intimacy. So when doubt whispers, what if God gets tired of me? Silence it with this truth. He has already promised to stay. His love is not like human love, fragile and unpredictable or easily withdrawn. It is covenant love, steady, loyal, and anchored in his nature. The one who called you is the one who keeps you. He doesn't just start the journey with you. He walks every step beside you and carries you when you cannot walk. And if you begin to truly believe that, not just with your mind, but with your whole heart, you will stop living like an orphan and start living like a beloved child. You can finally feel safe enough to become who you were created to be. Beloved friends, as we wrap up today's episode, I want you to carry this one truth with you. You are loved deeply and decisively by the God who knows you best and chose you first. His love is not fragile. It does not waver with your emotions, your performance, or your circumstances. It is anchored in His character. He is faithful. So this week, I want to challenge you. Wake up every morning and declare out loud, I am God's beloved child. I lack nothing. He is with me and He will carry me through. Say it until your heart believes it. And then watch how it begins to shape your thoughts, your relationships, your confidence, your peace, and your choices. Because when you love loved, you stop striving and you start resting. You stop begging for approval and you start overflowing with purpose. You stop seeing yourself through the lens of shame and start seeing yourself through the eyes of grace. You are graced. You are supplied. You are secured. And you are not alone. This is just the beginning of our journey through everyday love in Corinthians. And I can't wait to unpack more with you. If today encouraged you, share this episode with someone who needs to be reminded that God loves them too. Because loved people love people. Thank you for spending this time with me. Until next time, remember, you are deeply known, fully loved, and called to love like it every single day. Keep loving love.